Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Seven and oh, buddy.
Woo. Good night for the Patriots offense with 33 points overall. The offense accounting for 31 of them as the Pats will improve to 7-0 for the third time under Bill Belichick. They did it in 07, of course. They did it in 2015. And as Stidham takes the knee one last time in the final 28 seconds elapsed in the Meadowlands, the Patriots have swept the Jets for the 11th time under Bill Belichick in his 20 years as the New England head coach.
Patriots move to 7-0. Dominating win over the New York Jets on the road. 33-0. Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand. We are live this morning from Gillette Stadium. Zoe's not here. Empty chair. No Zoe. Hardy's back in our Town Fair Tires studios in Dorchester. I don't know if he's seated yet, but...
Maybe it's good luck. He wasn't here yesterday.
That's right. He missed the first segment yesterday. It appears he's going to miss the first segment today, too.
Oh, boy.
But welcome into the show.
Here we go.
Hi, Hardy.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi.
Good win last night, huh?
Yeah. But to Jim Louth's, I don't know if it was a prediction or at least his assessment beforehand, what did we learn?
Nothing. Nothing.
It's not a bad thing. It's not like, you know, we're in a bad position, but I don't think we learned anything from watching that game last night. It was more the same. It was a dominant performance by the defense. It was an ill-prepared Sam Darnold, that's for sure, and an ill-prepared Jets offense in many ways. But I don't know how you prepare for that defense. I don't know how you make a better showing than that. Other teams have done it. They did not. And offensively, still a couple of question marks there, but one of those questions has been answered this morning. So, you know, whatever we did learn, I think, and were maybe troubled by, we got some good news on that front this morning.
Yeah, I think there are people that don't necessarily fully buy in on the defense, and they need to keep seeing more of it for them to be able to do it. So there will be more people coming around on the Patriots defense the more they see of this.
Yeah.
But I was not buying in on the Jets as the opponent that would crack the Patriots defense. So, for me, I mean, I'm bought in. I have already.
Yeah. And I didn't think that the Jets were going to win, but I thought they'd give them a game.
Not so much.
My God.
Not so much.
You know, really. I mean, this is the same team that hung with them a little bit at Gillette Stadium. At least didn't make a mockery of the entire sport. But that's what they managed to do last night. Home field, too. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that helped. That almost helped. All right, so this morning...
It should have been 36 to nothing.
Overnight, and you know what? I actually believe maybe even before the game happened last night, the Patriots did a deal. They did a deal with the Atlanta Falcons for Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
Mohamed Sanu is now a Patriot. For a second-round pick, the deal is done. He is now a member of the Pats, and Brady gets wide receiver help, and the offense gets an upgrade overnight. And Mohamed Sanu is here not only for this year but beyond, because he's under contract for next year as well. This is a name we've talked about in recent weeks. It's a name we were talking about in pregame last night as a possibility, and now it's a done deal, and he's here. And they get upgraded. They get help. They get a receiver. All great news for the New England Patriots. the rich get richer. Obviously, this was an area of need, but this is more good news coming off a team that just won last night in dominating fashion. They're 7-0, and now they're getting the help and reinforcements that they need to, what, be without a doubt in anybody's mind the best team in the NFL? As if they needed more to prove to anybody they were the best team in the NFL? This is easily, in my mind, the best team in the league. I just think that is on display every single week. And there it was again last night, and then now they've got Sanu. You should be feeling really good about where this team's going.
Absolutely. And it's not the only area of need. If you want to get really nitpicky, you know, the offensive line, I think, still has some issues. There's some issues with the running game. But some of that gets answered with the return of Isaiah Wynn, who is presumably going to be a guy as soon as he's ready. He's going to come back and play. And in terms of, you know, the way the running game looked last night at times, yeah, now you're just being obnoxious. You know, offensively, there's still work to be done, but I think most of that work gets done with another receiver. And I think the running game finds its way a little bit. I can't believe I'm saying this, but when Rex Burkhead returns, I think he does make a difference.
If he ever returns.
If he ever returns.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, they're really missing James Devlin. As much as we thought they were going to miss him, and as much credit as he got for being a big part of that running game, I wonder if they're missing him even more than maybe we first allotted for. I think that's still an issue with getting the running game going. But other than that, no, that Sanu answers the call for the biggest need that this team had right now. As if you could say that a 7-0 team has a lot of needs and a lot of deficiencies. Again, it's an obnoxious conversation to have, but it's legitimate for Tom Brady, who needed another option. I mean, last night his main receiving option going into that game was Philip Dorsett. You know, that was it. Julian Edelman, of course, that's the mainstay, but at the wide receiver position, no, he needed more, and he got it.
Sanu is coming off a year in 2018 where he had 66 catches for 838 yards in 2018 and four touchdowns. So far this year, he's got a total of 33 catches through the seven games he's played in for 313 yards and one touchdown. He had two receivers playing ahead of him, obviously Julio Jones, but let's not forget Calvin Ridley is there too, and he's a high draft pick, and he's sort of emerged as the second option. First-round pick of a year ago. So this was the third receiver on that Falcons team that has one win on the year. It makes a lot of sense why the Falcons would move on from this player, because he's not, I wouldn't say he's cheap. He's definitely reasonable money. But for your third receiver, he's sort of pricey, considering they've also got a tight end emerging a little bit in Austin Hooper. That's a name that we've talked about as a possible trade target. The Falcons get a second-round pick. Did the Patriots, in your mind, overpay for this player?
No. I really don't feel that way. I am not the greatest evaluator and valuer of draft picks. So for me, it's not an overpayment. Doesn't bother me at all, especially considering where Tom Brady is at and what he needs right now in the final what could be the final year. Excuse me. I don't know that. It just seems to make sense to me. If he were to win another Super Bowl, that might be enough for the man whose contract is set to expire in the last day of this league year and doesn't necessarily need to prove anything else beyond this point. So no, not an overpayment.
Yeah, see, I don't think it is, because there's term left on the deal. For a rental, I might feel that way. But we were talking about Emmanuel Sanders yesterday as a rental for a third-round pick, which I was more than okay with.
Yes. What's the difference with where the Patriots pick in the second round? I understand what the drop-off is, and it's 32 more positions. That's fine. But when you're talking like end of second round, end of third round, they're valuable, sure. And they're
it's a valuable pick.
Good players still available, but for a guy who is going to help you right now in your biggest area of need and to help out the biggest asset that this team has, of course you do that deal. Yes.
Yeah, the fact that he's got another year left on his contract to me is very valuable.
Of course.
So I look at that and say, okay, you've had trouble at the position. You've had trouble building your roster at that position. And I think this move is further proof that their first-round pick this year, at least for this season, is not going to work out with N'Keal Harry. I mean, he might come back, but it doesn't. This doesn't sort of scream that they've got a huge high level of confidence in that pick working out this season if they're still pursuing receivers.
This is either a bad sign for Harry or a bad sign for Gordon's injury, right? One or the other?
Yeah, it's one or the other. But we talked to Greg Bedard post-game last night, and he thinks Josh Gordon will be a game-time decision against the Browns. And he hopes and he thinks that's probably likely that Josh Gordon is playing against the Browns this coming weekend. And Greg Bedard last night said, I wish they would just hold him out, though, and hold him out until the Ravens game. So that, to me, doesn't sound like a serious injury. And that's what he's hearing, that he could be ready to play this weekend.
Yeah, but I don't think
that it's a one-game injury. That's not exactly something that's going to derail the season.
I don't think it's out of the question that they would make this move, even if they thought N'Keal Harry and Josh Gordon were ready to come back. Josh Gordon is a talented guy, but that doesn't leave you any safety net whatsoever. You know, if Julian Edelman were to go, Jacoby Myers was a guy that Tom Brady relied on last night.
And you know what? There's something developing there, which is a positive sign.
It's positive, but do you think that Brady or the Patriots feel like, okay, well, as long as we got Myers, we're going to be fine?
No, and that certainly wasn't their plan going into the year.
No, of course not.
And so when you sort of go into the year and you didn't plan well and you haven't had your plans work out, this sort of goes back to Chris Gasper's point over and over again, that they have not planned well or had their plans work out at this position. And the overpayment is a second-round pick? Well, I can live with that. Everyone should be able to live with that. An overpayment for a veteran guy who you know can play and know can contribute right away, who's 30 years old, who's going to come in, that is going to be ready to go.
And not just a rental? Yep.
And not just a rental? A guy you get next year, too? That's not an overpayment. Nope. And you know what? The NFL trade deadline...
Unless you need to take care of your quarterback position next year. That's the one. That's the only reason it would be an overpayment. If you're worried about the quarterback position... next year,
in the sense that you would need to package picks to move up,
just in the that's another asset. That's another high asset that you're giving up in order to get something that's not a quarterback.
Well, I wouldn't sacrifice.
Unless you think Stidham's the guy, then great.
If you think it's a need that would get in the way of you going all the way, then whatever. Worry about that another day. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't think in those terms. So, but to go to this, the NFL trade deadline is now sort of a thing. I feel like there's more activity around the deadline in recent years than there was 10 years ago or 15 years ago.
Yeah, they pushed it back a couple of weeks, and it's made all the difference in the world.
It feels like there's more activity leading up to the deadline, and it sort of drives the prices up a little bit more, and you pay a little bit of a deadline premium in the NFL now that didn't used to exist. And so that's part of the game now, and it is what it is, in the words of Bill Belichick. So the Patriots get Mohamed Sanu. They needed receiver help. They addressed that need, and he's got term left on his deal. He's excited. We'll tell you about his tweets that he had, both thanking the Falcons and being excited to join the Patriots. We'll get to that coming up next, what Tom Brady had to say on Twitter as well. I think it was Twitter. Was it Twitter? Yes, it was. Tom Brady on Twitter. We'll get to that coming up with your calls and your reaction to both last night's game. More on that. And the acquisition of Mohamed Sanu, 617-779-0985. Hopefully Zoe is here as well. Coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you expect the Patriots to make any moves before the trade deadline?
No idea. I stayed out of that to this point. I've stayed out of that all year. I said before, I'm just going to do the best I can do every time I take the field, and whoever I'm out there with, that doesn't change my approach.
Brady lobs a throw down the right side for Dorsett. Open! Touchdown! Patriots! What a beautiful throw by TB12!
Night-night! And it looks like the undefeated Patriots are only getting stronger. Our Adam Schefter reporting this morning that the Falcons are sending wide receiver Mohamed Sanu to New England in exchange for a second-round pick, according to league sources.
Ryan going to slip it across. Here's Sanu at the 20. Turns it up, 10. Mohamed 5. Reaches in zone! Touchdown, Atlanta!
How about that run after the catch?
From my brain is where I bleed.
Mohamed Sanu to the Patriots today for a second-round pick. I told you that we'd tell you what his tweets were this morning to both his team that he's leaving in the Atlanta Falcons. He said, I appreciate everything the organization has done for my family and
sure.
I. Mr. Blank, TD, Coach Q, and everyone through the organization. I am forever grateful for the opportunity to my teammates and fans. Y'all know how I feel about y'all. Love y'all to death. Hashtag thank you. And then he had put out a minute later the eyeball emoji with LFG, bunch of exclamation points. Tom Brady retweeted that and said, see you soon. That happening in the 8 o'clock hour, just a couple hours ago. Mohamed Sanu coming to the Patriots after they get a win last night in MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Zoe's with us now.
Yeah, it's a good addition. Sorry about that. Just take Coach. Coach and still in his full suit from last night.
Good addition, Sanu, to the Patriots, or you to the show?
Me to the show, okay. First of all. And it'll start there, right? And you know, not that we're going to rename the show, but it's not 2 days in a row with Zoe starting here at third person, 10:20. Yesterday is not my fault. That was Dennis's fault for not having it hooked up on time. Today, Coach, running a little late. He's still in the same suit from last night. He's not slept. He's been working through the night. We whacked out plays of the week, Belastrator, but he's very excited to get Sanu in. This has nothing to do, I think, with Josh Gordon or the thought that maybe we can't trust Gordon moving forward. They still expect to get Gordon back and get him back soon. This is still a guy to replace what I think they intended to do at the beginning of the year, you know, bringing in that guy like Antonio Brown. Different player. I like this player. He's more of your stronger guy that could play the slot, could play outside, he could do everything. I liked him when he was in Cincinnati. So this is more of, it's another guy, and maybe this is less about a guy like Gordon or AB. This is maybe more about a guy like N'Keal Harry, because N'Keal Harry has his size, his strength. He was the back shoulder throw guy. I mean, Brady's throwing back shoulders to Brandon Bolden. They needed to get something. I tweeted that after game last night. They needed to get one more piece. But I didn't think this was going to be the guy, because I thought it's going to be maybe flipping Bennett for somebody, or you're going to have to give up picks. Never thought you could get Sanu because of the picks. Always thought it would be some package. If Atlanta would get hot, maybe they'd have interest in Bennett to help bolster that defense and do a package together with Bennett and picks to maybe get him in the tight end. But you know, I think they were happy with the production of the tight ends last night a little bit. I think they had better blocking off the edge. I mean, Watson caught a couple balls. But for as quick as Tomlinson was in to pick up the offense and that, that's one thing that was evident last night, getting back to last night's game, the edge. But they're super excited to get Sanu in the building. So
Are they done with this guy?
They're done. I think they're done because I think you get the left tackle back and win. And I think Newhouse is trying to give you as much as he can. A couple cut blocks last night. He looked better, but he almost got Brady killed on a couple of those backside things where he's coming in at the knee. And maybe the door's not shut here on Devlin. If they get Devlin back, you know, with Isaiah Wynn, that'd be a tough team to beat.
And that means N'Keal Harry's season is over.
I think it's red shirt year for him. I think you red shirt the kid.
It's a bad pick.
Huh?
You wasted one of your IR designations, too.
Yeah.
If you do that.
Sure. I mean, you knew Andrews wasn't coming back, though. You know, it's not like, hey, you have the option to bring your center back. And, you know, you've tried to keep that thing patched in the middle. Now, Karras isn't the same center that David Andrews is. But, hey, Karras is out there trying to play his ass off. So you do what's next best. You get the edge guy. You try and get your fullback back. I think you got a little tougher tight ends off the edge, if that makes any sense.
It's Devlin or Wynn. You can only get one now. That's it. You've already burned the clock on Harry. He's practiced.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You got 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, tell me.
You can't go back on your – once he practices, that's it.
No, you have 2 weeks from the time they start practicing to yay or nay. You're either back or you're not. So this could be a negative now that they went out and got Mohamed Sanu. They brought back Harry to practice.
I mean, you get a chance
maybe
to get
they didn't
Sanu.
Love what they saw.
Was an overpayment?
I mean, the commentary from the coaching staff wasn't exactly promising on N'Keal Harry before he'd even gone out onto the practice field.
It's a good point by him, and it's a good point by you. I mean, when they don't tell you something,
well, maybe they knew either Devlin or Wynn has no shot at coming back anyways.
See,
they had nothing to lose by burning it.
I've always heard Devlin is neck. This isn't head. This is, you know, you got a fullback with a neck. Let's make sure this thing's right. We don't want to ruin his career. Let's get him back next year. They love Devlin. He will be back next year. I just thought they didn't want to rush him back.
Let's grab a couple of your calls. 617-779-0985. Rob is in Cranston today. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Hey, Rob.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Big fan.
Good.
Hard to get the star of the show.
I love this call already. This guy's good.
Hey.
So I like this new pickup. I'm just a little concerned. I think Jacoby Myers has kind of had a nice couple games in a row now. And I feel like with Sanu coming on, he's going to take a back seat. and all
no,
that.
No, you'll be sprinkling him in. That kick, he's been catching what's been thrown at him. Let's not accelerate and rush that. Let that kid be what he is, and he's giving you everything he can right now. But you need pro-type receivers on the outside when you go on this run that you're going to go on. You know, you're going to be able to beat teams like the Jets, like Miami with Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski out there running around at times. But ideally, you know, you want Dorsett, you want Edelman, you want Gordon, you want Sanu. You want James White. Now you got a huddle with Watson. That's a huddle. You got something here.
Yeah, here's a question I have. Who has to go off the roster for this move?
That's a good question. You know, Ferentz played a little fullback. I mean, he's been up and down, right?
Yeah.
Can I nominate Jordan Richards?
Absolutely.
I'm sure he's.
I'm just wondering if
he have a block in the back?
Do they have to? Are they going to keep their numbers the same? Do they want to remove a receiver, add a receiver to keep their numbers at each position the same? We saw Edelman taking a punt in the game last night. Was it once?
Edelman's punt was off of safety though.
That's true.
That's your punt safety.
That's a good.
So
point.
Now you know that's a whole different thought process.
No,
back
good
there.
Call. Good
and
call.
Olszewski was in the game fielding punts after.
I know. I was like, yeah. I looked up at one. I'm thinking, oh wow.
I said the same thing to Bob, Robert and I'm like, oh, okay, we're coming off the field. You're coming off a safety off the Darnold knockout thing. So
okay, Dave is in Lynn.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I think it's great, the assets on offense, but this defense is probably the best of all time. In the Super Bowl era, no other team has allowed this few touchdowns through seven games. They're averaging less than 7 points a game. Their defense is actually outscoring the offense on the other teams. I know there's been some subpar opposition, but they're doing it against anybody, and they're getting better.
Well, I mean, Dave, the numbers are there. The numbers are there.
It hasn't been some subpar competition. They've played a lot of garbage so far. But here's the thing.
But they still dominated the garbage. It's consistent domination.
I think they're going to do it against good teams.
Yeah.
And so we can have this conversation, but I think you're jumping the gun. That's all. I think we're going to be able to have that conversation down the road.
Yeah, look, we did plays of the week just now, and we went through 11 plays. 9 of them were on defense. And the big thing was how diverse the spacing. The communication in the secondary, the ball hawking, their ability to get a single man pressure every single time they wanted to blitz. The way they dotted up, it was middle, it was left side, it was right side, it was secondary, it was second level, it was third level. They haven't even brought a corner yet. They haven't brought a nickel corner yet. So, I mean, they haven't even advanced some of this blitzing.
It has not been all that exotic.
No. You just look at the man and say, it's just a thorough ass whipping. Yeah, that's a thorough ass
bag out of him last night.
Did you take the points yesterday?
I did not take the points.
You and I had a good discussion. This thing wasn't trending well for the Jets.
No points for me.
No. Jim, do you think any differently now? What was your statement Friday regarding the game?
No, I said it yesterday.
My picks this weekend.
I just said I don't know what day's day.
I said it's still unknown about Darnold because he played two teams that were pretty good.
Okay.
And he beat one and he lost by a point.
I thought we came out of Friday.
There's definitely more known last night.
I thought you made a big statement. I thought you were on the other side of glass on Friday.
There's much more known about Darnold now.
Yeah.
I made a pick on this show on Friday.
But it's not a good win for you guys. For you guys, it's not a good win.
My pick, well.
Nothing. 33-0, dominant performance, not a good win.
We're going to have that conversation coming up next. Okay, we didn't forget about that yesterday. We're going to have that conversation coming up.
Did you get that sweatshirt?
I've had this. I got this at the Super Bowl. I remember that.
That looks new.
It's not. I don't even think I've worn it.
Too. Wow.
I think I got this at the Super Bowl. I didn't wear. I haven't worn it.
How many sleep you get?
Like five, four.
Nice.
Yeah.
More than me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're going to have that.
Yeah.
Let's put Patriots win in context.
Yeah.
From last night, okay? We'll do that. Good. We'll do that coming up next, all right? We'll sort that out for you, Jim. Don't worry. After Hardy's headlines.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Seeing ghosts.
Here comes Collins on a blitz. Darnold quickly unloads. He throws an interception right into the hands of Devin McCourty. Here comes Simon on a blitz. He gets to the corner. Ball's loose. Patriots recover. John Simon gets to the quarterback.
Seeing ghosts.
Drops back with a twist up front. Throws off the back foot of the end zone. Picked off by Daron Harmon.
Seeing ghosts.
Darnold, he takes it. There's a blitz coming. He's hit. He floats one across the middle. Intercepted by Gilmore.
Seeing ghosts.
Shotgun snap to Darnold. Backs up. Hands in the pocket. Throws off the back foot of the end zone. Intercepted. Leaping in front of the intended receiver, the former Jet Terrence Brooks. Another back foot throw. Picked off by the Patriots.
Atta boy, Sammy D. Off the back foot all day.
I ain't afraid of no day.
How were you guys able to rattle him? He said at one point on the ESPN broadcast that I felt like he was seeing ghosts.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's the boogeyman. It's real.
Knock, knock. Guess who's here? The boogeyman cometh.
He really said that?
Yeah.
Seeing ghosts.
That's crazy for him to say that. It just, that makes it real. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
Sam Darnold seeing ghosts last night. Man, that is really unfortunate that mic got out onto ESPN for him last night.
Would never happen here.
Oh, my God.
Would never happen here. Now, there's a lot of things that...
So, in his defense, from what I said, he's looking at the tablet, and he's watching his own movement,
right,
like, out of the pocket.
No, I'm not criticizing him at all.
Okay.
This is an organization.
Sucks for him that he's mic'd up. As he says it. It's good, honest criticism of himself.
Right.
It means he's good. It means he looks at it and he's able to say, "What the hell am I doing out there?"
Okay, so
I'm seeing ghosts.
There's a lot of mandatory things that the league now is making teams do. Like, make some guys be mic'd up. Like, for instance, Bill having to do that pregame interview, where a lot of people got on his ass for being rude to Dana Jacobson. You know, stuff that he doesn't want to do, but stuff they go through with a fine-tooth comb. We'll give you access. They have guys mic'd up all the time, but they got a guy that goes over it before anything gets out. There's stuff we do weekly here, four shows, that has gone over the fine-tooth comb, the locker room video, post-game, all this stuff. Why? Remember when it went nuts last year out in Kansas City, when stuff got out and some stuff was posted live? Like, that's not going to happen anymore. You don't let that type of audio get out.
Oh, Periscope video?
Yes, Antonio Brown, Facebook Live video. Stuff's not going to happen here. But they would allow a quarterback like Brady to be mic'd up, but they would go over what was going to be released prior to it. Jets don't really want that authoritative type of control, and they hung their quarterback out to dry, is what they did. It's tough for him because of the market, because now you got two tabloid
But that's
papers.
Not supposed to go on TV.
Right.
Like, that's ESPN's fault.
I don't care.
I don't blame the team.
Coach, I'm seeing ghosts. That's an honest answer.
Guys are mic'd up on the Patriots like they are on all teams all the time. It's not supposed to go live onto television. That's never supposed to happen.
Yeah.
How did that happen? I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Sam Darnold.
Because
there are plenty of things that are embarrassing that I'm sure Tom Brady has said over the years that could make him look embarrassed.
It's something everybody could say. You think Bill, when he's mic'd up and he's doing those documentaries, you don't think they go over every single piece of audio 10 times to make sure something bad doesn't
happen? Sam Darnold.
That makes them look bad.
Got his ass kicked last night and made plenty of horrible mistakes on his own and terrible decisions and back foot throws and the whole deal.
And what's reflective on?
But that, like, come on. That was just, he's criticizing himself like a good player should do.
So if you're a good head coach and if you're a quarterback whisperer and your quarterback has horrible mechanics all night, that's reflective on the coaching.
Yeah.
So now it goes to coaching. Okay, you didn't have him ready. He saw ghosts because you didn't go over enough blitz packages with him. You didn't give him enough looks in practice. Your stupid defensive coordinator played zone first three third downs of the game.
Thank you very much.
And allowed rookies to run rampant down the middle.
Third and five, third and seven, third and ten. No
problem.
Backer
split. Jacoby Myers hooks up third and nine over the middle. He didn't get touched for 4 yards. It's ridiculous. You get your ass out coached.
Three third downs and then a third down touchdown to cap that drive.
The most glaring thing for me, again, to watch the sideline operation, to watch the control on the sideline, to watch substitution patterns, everything that's involved there. They outplayed their ass, but they thoroughly outcoached their ass. That was a clinic. An absolute clinic. Even on special teams.
That I would agree with, but the mic'd up thing, like, what are you doing, ESPN? Come on. Get the guy a break. You hung him out.
Hey, yeah, bad nights. That's a bad night for the kid.
Oh, bad. Brutal.
So now
they should have benched him. Why'd they leave him in there?
On his third throwaway, when he overthrew the white on three consecutive throws. So it's to the point where I'm not throwing another pick.
He's putting it into the bench.
I'm hitting the bench. Yeah, he hit the bench. Yeah. He hit Belichick with one, too. And
hey, coach.
It's like at that point, and he's off the back foot. He's asking to come out of the game.
He's begging for it.
So I understand, it's only 16th start, and you're only going to get quality reps and games and pressure. You're not going to fix the kid in 8 minutes. You know when you're going to fix the kid? By getting him out of the game, throwing that away, talking to him, teaching him from it.
You're not.
And getting him up and
flying
again.
You're not fixing him against that defense on that night with a head coach who loves beating the New York Jets. Man, does he love beating the Jets.
He didn't like the uniforms either.
Isn't that fun? Like, yeah. I still love that. He's still got this thing about the Jets after all these years, after how it ended poorly for him there. He doesn't like the way it ended. It's great. It's awesome.
Ty, loosen up and I'll ask the first question. Coach, always good beating the Jets. Always good beating the Jets.
He hates the Jets. Yeah. We all hate the Jets. I hate the Jets. Who doesn't hate the Jets around here?
What a horrible uniform, though.
Even though the Jets suck, I still hate them. I don't know what it is. I still hate the Jets.
How do the uniforms look on TV? They're all green.
They don't look terrible.
No?
No.
Really?
I mean, they're not good-looking uniforms when they go with that all-same color thing, but...
I don't know why they do that.
It's not a good look. Why not wear some white pants in there? Why don't you mix it up a little bit?
I get them jock straps that show through some of those teams.
Oh, like the Dolphins pants. Okay, so let's put the win in context. Jim said it can't be a good win. We didn't learn anything. We didn't learn anything last night. Patriots keep it rolling, which, as I said yesterday, they can keep it rolling, and that's a good thing. And they kept it rolling, and that's a good thing. You can say that about the win.
Kept it rolling. They were more multiple. They took two new tight ends, and they ran double stacks, and they ran two double thing options off it. They were running jet sweep motion stuff, flip backs that they didn't do to the backs. They had wrinkles offensively that they didn't have all year. So, and now
I don't think they broke any ground, though, in terms of proving what they are as a team and what they're capable of.
I think you're going to be able to advance.
I don't think they did.
Okay, so you mentioned a Harris kid. Okay, so he's active last night. I joked before the game. Wouldn't be shocked me if he goes for 200 like Jonas Gray.
I heard you make a comment late in the game last night. You said the Patriots were dominating both defensively and offensively. Do you feel that way?
Well, not offensively, because they stalled in the second half. I mean, there was a sequence of five possessions where it's punt, 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 interception, punt. No, they didn't dominate, but they came out to dominate the game to where they just flipped it.
Because at that point, it was like late in, I don't know what time it was. I lost track of all time here in the last 24
hours. Well, I think we were closing things up. You know, I mean, that's a 33-0 win.
Yeah, no, the scoreboard would tell you it was, but I think it felt
like 66-0.
But I don't think it was. We're delirious back in the studio. And
the
Jim
first
and I,
half did, though. Jim the and second I, half, they only scored 7 points.
Jim and I, they got in a fight. Jim and I started fighting, arguing about it.
Yeah, second half, they stalled. Offensively, they stalled. And this is why Brady was pissed after the game. Because he's like, I love the way we start, but then we can't put 60 minutes together. It's back to that 60-minute thing for them, and why he's staying in the game at the end. He's not pissed he's in the game. He's pissed that they couldn't lay the wood, And I mean, hey, turnover was on him too. Extend the play. They're going for it. I mean, they're trying to look and hit deep post through there with a 33-zip lead, and they wanted to lay them out. And they theoretically still did. But I think it was
dominant. But they choked the game away in the first 10, 12 minutes of the game. It was over.
That's it. But that's why I say it's dominant, because the offense came out and gave you the ability to just flip the script defensively, where they're one-dimensional now. And you could tell the kid was spooked.
Why the Jets were stupid. That's coming up at 11. Nice. We'll get to your calls coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good morning, Josh. There's a report out there that Patriots have acquired Mohamed Sanu. What would a player like that bring to the offense?
Well, Mike, I'm aware of the report, but I honestly, we haven't had a meeting or anything like that. I've been in a room since 4:30 this morning talking about the Browns, and I really haven't had any other conversations about that. So I'm not going to myself speculate on that until I'm told and it's confirmed by coach.
I wondered if you could confirm the trade for Mohamed Sanu. There have been reports about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to confirm anything. When there's an official announcement to be made, if there is one to be made, we'll make it. But I'll just say in general, anytime there's a transaction for a player, there are always a number of steps that, have to be completed. And so at whatever point in time we have a transaction to announce, we'll announce it.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Well, down here at the Kremlin, they don't confirm anything. So, very tight-lipped this morning. Mohamed Sanu, never heard of him.
Well, no, nothing yet.
Never heard of him.
Did he play for the Falcons?
Meanwhile, he'll be walking through the back door at any moment here at Gillette Stadium. No, we'll confirm something when there's something to confirm.
Unless he's here already.
Josh McDaniels. Know. Get out of here, McDaniels. Oh, I've been in the meeting rooms. It's 4:30 this morning, guys.
Josh.
There's no inside information. I'm from the outside world in that room. They check our phones at the door, and they lock us in there with no food or water.
Oh, my God.
And our eyes are wired open. We sit there, and we just watch the film. No outside contact in that room.
We have not eaten since supper.
In the torture chamber, there is no outside world.
I remember doing one of the Bears games. I remember Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey. I think it was Martellus Bennett at the time was there. And I remember just the three of them standing together on the sideline next to us in warm-ups. And I'm like, look at these type of receivers. Like, why can't we have this in New England? And now you get this big physical guy to throw him at. Like, him next to Josh Gordon. Whew.
It's nice. Nice deal they made here. It's a good move.
It's not like they're not. They haven't tried to get him pieces and pieces to work with on the outside.
My only disappointment in this is I always wanted Emmanuel Sanders to be a Patriot at some point, and that doesn't look like it's going to happen. It's Mohamed Sanu, who's a great player as well. So it's okay, but that Emmanuel Sanders dream, that thing is dead. It's over. It's not going to happen. 617-779-0985.
Hey, and maybe they had to reach here too a little bit, you know, with the second round. But if that's the guy you wanted, and
do you think it's a reach? Do you think it's an overpayment?
I don't think it's an overpayment because I've been told that this isn't a quick fix here. Like, they like him and they feel they get a good 2-3 years out of him.
He's under contract for next year already,
and it's doable. What's he, $6 million on the cap?
I don't think it's an overpayment. I think it's reasonable money. I think he's a good player.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
What if I told you they traded for a receiver without a name attached that never had more than 67 catches, never had more than 838 yards, and never had more than 5 touchdowns?
Well, since I worked with you 15 years, I know it's a trick question. I know that would be good value on the other side.
67 catches, 838 yards, and 5 touchdowns would be the maximum output.
Why is 67 catches something to turn your nose up at?
Because that'll
second round pick 30, for a second round pick. Round.
Here's the thing, too. What do you want? You want to do?
I don't know.
You want to do all their second round picks that they missed?
Why don't you name all the receivers they've drafted with first and second round picks here that have just totally sucked? I don't value the picks the way you draft people do. So for me, I'm like, yeah, they'll do it right now. They need receiver help. So I'm the wrong guy to ask on that. Because I'll just sit here and name all the bad draft picks the team has made over the years.
Rozai Dowling.
And say they're lottery scratch off cards. Some of them work. Some of them don't. Sometimes you win, sometimes they totally blow.
Jones kid from Alabama, the kick returner corner. The hell, Cyrus Jones. He was second rounder, right?
Yeah, he worked out. That was Rozai Dowling. He was a second round pick. How did he work out? I'll take the 67 catches over Rozai Dowling.
I'll take Mohamed Sanu.
Thanks. Yeah, exactly.
Mohamed Sanu.
That's just how I look at it.
He's never really been like a want, too. I mean, you look at where he played in Cincinnati, how he had to play with those guys to get the opportunity to go to a team like Atlanta to get paid there. And then, the guys that they've had there, you know, Ridley, Julio Jones. Did he play with Roddy White? No.
Julio Jones?
No. Sanu. Was White gone? No. Yeah.
Yeah, no. He's 16. Yeah. He's only played 4 years with Atlanta.
All right. Sorry.
Let's go to your
phones. A good player, but just it's a high price. That's all.
I think he's a high-end complimentary piece.
See, I think that's the going rate. I think they paid the market, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And if you're in trouble, and if you're struggling, if you're laboring, and you have one offensive grouping, and you don't trust your rookie, and Josh Gordon's continuing to work through things, let's go to these calls. You go out and you make this move.
Zach in Lemonster. Hi, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, just to correct you, it was $7 million he's getting paid, just over.
Who?
But anyways.
No. He's 3.7 against the cap this year.
He is. But
next year it's like six and a half, I think.
But isn't it make this is
who cares?
Whatever. I'm off $500,000.
They got $1 million. They got millions of dollars next year. Who cares?
I want to talk about the 53-man roster and who they're going to get off. And I believe it's going to be Michael Bennett.
Well, they're going to cut him.
Attitude. Yeah, they're going to cut him. Screw the $16 million. They don't need it. Just like AB
screw 16 minutes. So what's AB at?
Yeah, it's a stupid call. Let's go to another call because I'm not going to waste my time talking about that. They're going to pay him and let him play for somebody else.
Oh, man.
And another AFC team and let him come back and play against them? No, they're not. No, they're not. They'll stash him for the year. They won't cut him. Why would they cut him?
I don't know. You keep
all that money they're paying him?
Right. So now you're going to have all that dead money with him and AB, right?
Yeah, they'll make him inactive every week, and they'll make him show up and report for work every single day. You're on the hook for the cash. Can't do that. That call annoyed me right out of the gate. Listen, we're all short on sleep here. Worked a lot of hours in the last 28 or so
hours. Don't come
hours.
At me with numbers.
Don't come at me with the, Zoe, you're off $500,000 on the salary cap for 2020 bullcrap.
I'll call you on
Don't
that.
Don't do that today.
I'll call you on that.
Don't do that. We're not doing that. Too good of a day. Pats are 7-0. Their defense is kicking ass. And Mohamed Sanu is here. All right? So don't come at us with that nonsense today. No time for that. Jerry in Murraysville.
Murraysville?
Where's that?
This is for Zoe.
Okay.
This is about the Patriots playing for 60 minutes. Last night in the third quarter, the end of the third quarter, we had the ball moving down into the Jets' territory, and there were was second down, and there's 28 seconds left to go in the third period.
Yeah.
And the Jets looked like they were walking off the field. And the Patriots got into a huddle.
Yep. No huddle.
Got up, snapped the ball, and got a first down with 4 seconds left to go. And then they went off the field.
I made the joke that, wow, they're really trying to score here before
the end of the third quarter.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't that great?
That was exactly my point. There's still 28 seconds left to go in this game, boys. And they were all wandering around. It was just like, go Pats. It was just a great game. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for the call. It's so true. And part of me wondered all night long. I'm like, is this a Jets thing? Is this a Jets thing? Challenging the first down catch that Bill threw the flag on with, what, about 10 minutes to go in the game?
Yeah.
I'm like, this has got to be a Jets thing, right?
Yeah, the back and forth on the punt.
It's got to be a Jets thing. laughing at the decline penalties as they ran about minute and 20 seconds off the clock there, too.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I was just laughing.
A loophole in the system that has to be closed now. You know, I'll fix that.
Laughing at the time being run
fighting
off
the
clock.
Fighting the refs in those calls. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. A lot of flags. Again, how many penalties were there?
That's a
look there. The look of the game from last night. Felt like there were more flags than there needed to be in a game that was a 33-0 lopsided blowout.
They probably got 60-65% of the calls right, which is not good.
It's not the rate you're looking at.
So you were all over the refs all night long.
It was bad. There was a stretch.
So it was the Patriots versus ESPN / the refs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. One more before we get to the top of the hour. What here. Was Pete the, on the what, oil rig?
What was the most egregious call against the Patriots last night? So
was it before the half? There was a couple before the half where they kept two jet drives alive.
Zoe did not like the J.C. Jackson tug on the shoulder of Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
I knew that was one of the ones you did not like at all. But you know what?
That's something you would.
J.C. stop doing it. They're looking for him now.
Seriously.
He is a marked man on that. He is a marked man when it comes to that penalty now because he's been doing it so damn much. I'm telling you, the refs know him now.
Edelman's getting grabbed every return move he made, like in and out. He was running a ton of those. So was Myers, and they kept grabbing him and actually spinning out. They're blowing those calls.
They're looking for J.C. Jackson to grab guys now.
Yeah. It's almost like he's the told, like, okay, so we as a staff are going to go to the refs, and they always meet before the game.
Yep.
Hey, yeah, we've been seeing it. Watch 27.
Yeah, 27 likes to get a little grabby.
What do you think? Gilmore doesn't grab like that? Gilmore grabs like that.
Of course he does.
They just don't want to call it on him. That's the ticky tack crap. Like if there's interference and it was
ticky-tack.
Clear interference, that ball wasn't catchable.
Oh, it was not catchable, and it was ticky tack.
It was ticky tack.
But
down
they're
field.
Looking for him,
right?
But you know what I would say? If it's not catchable, why'd you need to grab him like
Hardy,
that?
Hardy.
Because you didn't impede him.
And
you didn't, if you're gonna grab him, then grab him.
And it's you.
That's what I would say.
You don't see the process of the throw of the flag, which I do from deep center. The ball's over the head 4 yards, and it's a late flag. And I'm screaming, throw holding. If you could clearly see that was a grab and tug. No, okay, ball's in the air, becomes PI. But that's holding before it's PI. You know, and it's
the ball was in the air.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ball was in the air.
And
well, there was
a call or two last night that should have been a hold as opposed to a pass interference. I know one of them that you were talking about.
Yeah, and I'm being ticky-tack over that.
Okay. Okay.
That's on me.
Pete on the oil rig. Hi, Pete.
What oil rig?
An oil rig in Colorado. How you doing, boys? Hey, I got
That's
a couple
awesome.
Things. I know you're up against it.
Yeah.
the big, I know everybody's talking about Donald and the ghost thing, but the big thing I heard last night on the broadcast was when Donald went to the coach Gase, and he was trying to get him some advice, and all the thing Gase said to him was, yeah, you know what you're doing, just throw it in the end zone. Like, there was no coaching element whatsoever for this kid. And then right then I knew, like, these guys are cooked. They have no clue. And then
I
the other thing.
That. What was this?
I thought the same. I saw it, and I know what you're talking about. And I think they were giving him credit for it on the broadcast. That's exactly what you say to that young man in that situation. You tell him just to go play. And that's what Gase did. He took Darnold. He said, you know what to do. Now punch it in there. You go in there. You go down there and score. You know, at that point, I don't think that was enough for the kid. And maybe they had tried some more technical coaching earlier on in the game, and that wasn't working either. But to say, like, that's exactly what he needed to hear at that point, I didn't think it was all that inspiring.
So, I don't see how he made the kid better hanging him out to dry at the end of the game.
I don't know why he was in there, really.
That affects you as a player. It does. It sticks with you.
Why the Jets were stupid, coming your way after the headlines in 90 seconds. Nice.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.